Luke chapter 15, verses 1 to 10. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering round to hear Jesus, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who do not need to repent. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents.
Thank you so much, Alex. Do keep your Bibles open there. How do you think God feels about you? Maybe you're not sure. Or maybe you know that the Bible says he loves you, but there are days, there are nights when you find that really hard to believe. Loves me? Really? After all that I've done? Friend, if that's you, listen in to what Jesus has to say. It'll be good medicine for your heart. Look at the situation. Chapter 15, verse 1. The tax collectors and sinners were all gathering round to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." The tax collectors were traitors to their fellow Jews. Sinners were those who broke God's law. Everybody hated tax collectors. Everybody looked down on sinners. Everybody, except Jesus. And the tax collectors and the sinners, they sense that he is different from everybody else. And so, do you see, they gather around him. They want to hear what he has to say. And you see how the religious leaders respond, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. It says they muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." When you eat with someone, it's a sign of friendship. And that's why they mutter. That's why they complain. How can he be friends with people like that? These are people who've broken God's law. Jesus, you shouldn't be welcoming people like that. You should be condemning them. Isn't that what we're used to? Religious people who condemn everyone else. And maybe you've been on the receiving end of that. And you're only too aware of your sin, of how you have messed up, broken God's law. And it's people like the Pharisees who make you feel God could never love someone like you. God could never want someone like you. And if that's you, you need to know that the Pharisees have got God all wrong. That is not what God is like. Whoever you are, whatever your story, whatever you've done, the God of the Bible loves you. And Jesus tells these stories to paint a picture of how much God loves you, to help us to feel the wonder of his love for us. First, he wants us to know that God loves us so much that he searches for us. God loves you so much that he searches for you. You see verse 4, suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and one wanders off and gets lost. Or then in verse 8, suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. The sheep is lost. The coin is lost. You see, in the eyes of the Pharisees, these tax collectors and these sinners are bad people. But you see, in God's eyes, they are lost people. Lost sheep, lost coin, lost people. And lost is when you are not where you're meant to be. That the sheep was meant to be with the shepherd. We were meant to be with God. We were meant to be living in his care. But the Bible says we all like sheep have gone astray, says the prophet Isaiah in the Old Testament. We all thought we're better off without God. And so we've gone and done our own thing. And the truth is we're mostly okay. We find a bit of grass here and we stumble across a stream there and life is okay. But then a wolf emerges from the undergrowth, stands in our path. A pandemic reminds us of the reality of death. And we are very afraid. And we don't know which way to turn. And we realize how much we need our shepherd to protect us. The word lost is a very strong word. It's a word that means destroyed. You see, we thought we'd be free, but you run away from God. You run away from the God who is the source of eternal life, and you face eternal death without the shepherd and his care. The wolf will destroy us. The sheep is lost. So what does the shepherd do? Verse 4, suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? See, the shepherd doesn't say, oh, well, I've got 99 other sheep. Every sheep is precious to him. And this one sheep is in danger. So he leaves the 99 behind and he goes after it. And when the woman loses her coin, what does she do? Verse 8, suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully till she finds it? Did you see what Jesus is saying? Why am I hanging out with sinners, with tax collectors and sinners? And being friends with them because of what God is like. Because God doesn't just leave the lost to be lost. They are precious to him. And in his love, God seeks out sinners. And you see what it costs him to do that. Did you notice how the shepherd doesn't just say, well, I'll give it a few hours, but, you know, I can't really afford to waste, you know, too much time on just one sheep. Do you see the end of verse 4? Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? To find a lost sheep, you have to go looking in all the places where a sheep might be lost. It might be lost in the desert, so you have to go looking in the heat of the sun. It might be stuck in brambles, so you have to push your way through thorns that cut you. It might have fallen down a ravine, so you have to climb down steep and dangerous rocks. And above all, if you're going to rescue it, you need to be ready to fight wolves. And that is what this shepherd was prepared to do. Do you see end of verse 4? He's not going to stop until he finds it. And it's the same with the woman and a coin. I mean, you lose a coin somewhere in your house. Think of all the kind of nooks and crannies it could easily have rolled into. It could be anywhere. I mean, one coin in a whole house. If she said, look, it's not really worth looking for. It's just one coin. I've got other coins. I'll never find it. We'd get that, wouldn't we? But she doesn't. You see what she does? She lights a lamp. She lights a lamp. She works through all the shadowy corners of the house, under the stairs, behind the TV. She looks down the back of the sofa and she sweeps. She sweeps the house. She puts the chairs up on the kitchen table. She gets under it with a dustpan and brush, and she moves the bed, and she's down on her hands and knees, and she's sifting through the dust carefully until, do you see, until she finds it. And friends, that is how much God loves you. And maybe religious people have made you feel God won't want you, not you. But do you see how precious you are to him? He's not content just to say, well, I've got other sheep, I've got other coins. He wants you. And the big claim of the Bible is that Jesus is not just another religious teacher. He is God come looking for us. When you look at Jesus, you see God come looking for us. And you see, to find someone who is lost, you have to go to where they are lost. And that is what he is prepared to do, to find you. In order to find us, the King of Heaven was prepared to step into our world, was prepared to be born a baby, to become a refugee on the run for his life. In his search for us, he was prepared to be misunderstood by his family. He was prepared to be rejected by the authorities. You see that here. He was prepared to be reduced to tears, to be overwhelmed with fear. He was prepared to sweat blood. He was prepared to be betrayed by a friend. He was prepared to be beaten and whipped and humiliated. And in the end, he was prepared to lay down his life for you. Because that is what it took. That is what it took to bring you home. Peter, who's one of Jesus' disciples, wrote, Christ died for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. Do you hear that? We were lost. We were far from God. But by his death, he found us. And he brought us back to God, home. Do you see how much he loves you? Loves you so much that he searches for you. Do you see what he was prepared to do to find you? The price he was prepared to pay. Do you see, you look at Jesus and you see what God is like. And the problem with the Pharisees is they don't really see Jesus. They don't see what God is like. And if we lose sight of Jesus, the danger is we'll become like the Pharisees. Like the Pharisees, there'll be certain sinners we will look down on. Perhaps there's someone in your family and you just can't believe what they have done. And friends, remember that they are lost. See, everyone thinks if you go along with what the Bible teaches about people being sinners, it'll make you hateful. Isn't that what people think? Hateful. No, it's just the opposite. It makes you gentle. It's the culture around us that's really hateful. You go online, see the hate, see how people are so quick to point fingers at other people. These people, those people are the problem. They are the ones who need to sort themselves out. And God says, no, they can't sort themselves out. They are lost. It's no point just having a go at them, wagging your finger at them. A sheep can't find its own way home. A coin can't make its own way back into the handbag. It's no good just telling it to get its act together. When you're lost, you need someone to go and find you. And God's people are meant to reflect God's heart. If we see what God's heart is like, we won't just sit back in our church meetings kind of condemning people out there. What will we do? We will go out looking for the lost. And sometimes I guess we just sort of hope they will come to us. We put on a carol service and we hope they'll come. And I know lockdown makes this really complicated, but what will it look like for us to reflect God's heart and go to them? To make the call to them, just to fix, to meet up with them, to go where they work. Maybe one day move house, to start a church where they live. It'll be costly. It'll mean we'll have to step into some hard situations. We'll need to have some hard conversations. It may take years and years, but you see, our God is not the God who kind of gives it a few hours and gives up. He is the one who seeks until he finds. Our God is the God who loves you so much that he searches for you. Secondly, he's the God who loves you so much that he celebrates when he finds you. What does the shepherd do when he finds the sheep? Do you see verse 5? He finds the sheep and he says, how many times do I have to tell you not to wander off? Look at all the trouble I've had to go through to find you. No. Did you see what he does? Verse 5, when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders. He's so glad. He's so glad the sheep is safe. And when he gets home, what does he do? Yeah, well, he tells everyone what an idiot that sheep was. No, no. Do you see verse 6? He goes home and then he calls his friends and his neighbors together and says, rejoice with me. I found my lost sheep. He gets his friends and his neighbors round and he throws a party to celebrate. And you see what the woman does when she finds her coin? Verse 9, and when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I've found my lost coin. And Jesus is saying, that is what God is like. That is what God does when he finds you. He celebrates. Do you see that? Verse 7, I tell you that in the same way, there'll be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who do not need to repent. He says it again at the end of the coin story, verse 10. In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. See? Do you see how much he loves you? He rejoices over you. And maybe you find that really hard to believe. You think, well, he's found me and he's sort of forgiven me, but isn't he still a bit cross with me for getting lost in the first place? No, he joyfully puts you on his shoulders. It is his joy to save you. He is happier to rescue you than you are to be rescued. Or maybe you are very aware of some of the things you've done. You feel ashamed. Do you see that he is not ashamed of you? Do you see how he throws a party in public, all his friends and neighbors, to celebrate you? He is not ashamed of you. He is telling all the angels how thrilled he is to have you. Do you see what our God is like? Do you see how he feels about you? How he loves you so much. He celebrates the fact that you are home. Friends, again, if we lose sight of what our God is like, we will drift into behaving like Pharisees. Because we live in a world that celebrates and elevates certain types of people. People are clever, funny, or beautiful, or white. And if you're not those things, you don't always feel very welcome, do you? And the Pharisees were a lot like the world around them. They celebrated certain type of people, people who were good, respectable. And if you were not good and not respectable, then you didn't really feel welcome. And the danger is, as a church, we are also a lot like the world around us. We celebrate a certain type of person. The people we're especially excited by are clever people or wealthy people, people who are married with children, or people who are good up front. And if you're not that, you sort of pick up on the fact that people are not so excited by you. They don't seem to be so thrilled to have you around. They don't come over and talk to you. It means you don't feel very welcome, do you? And friends, when we've done that, when we've celebrated only a certain type of person, we've misrepresented God. We've not reflected his heart. Because what sort of people does God celebrate? Well, what sort of people is he throwing a party for here? People who are found by Jesus. And yeah, our differences matter. And we need to understand each other and learn from each other's experiences. But what is the most significant experience you have ever had? What is the one experience that changed your life? Being found by Jesus, wasn't it? Over summer, back in the summer, I got talking to someone in the park, a Christian from another country. Totally different life story, totally different life experience from me. But after 10 minutes, we were talking like brothers. We swapped phone numbers and everything. Why? Because we both had the same experience. The most significant experience in our lives was one we shared. We were found by Jesus. And so he was thrilled to welcome me, and I was thrilled to welcome him. Let me put it like this. The world around us is full of people who wear badges. Badges that say clever or funny or rich or beautiful. And what people tend to do is people tend to hang out with the people who wear the same badges that they wear. That's why the world is so divided. And you might walk into church and you might look at the people and think that they're not wearing the same sort of badges as me. It looks like these people are different from me. I'm not sure if I'm welcome. Friends, do you see, if we're Christians, there's only one badge that matters. Found by Jesus. And if you are wearing that badge, God is celebrating you. And God's people on earth join in with heaven's party and celebrate you too. I think the days when we really feel that, we really feel the party spirit, are the days when we have adult baptisms. You know, those beautiful days when people stand up and they tell us the story of how Jesus found them. Those are the best days, aren't they? Aren't those the days that just thrill you? Because we sit there and we say, who cares what school they went to or what country they're from or how they talk or how they look? None of that matters. What matters is they are found by Jesus and God is rejoicing over them. And we, his people, are joining in with heaven's party. And heaven's party is a strange party. To party for all kinds of very different people who wouldn't normally hang out together. But at this party, everyone is welcome. Even tax collectors. And even sinners. And even you. Why? Because of what God is like. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for what you are like. Thank you that you are the God who seeks out the lost, who celebrates the found. Pray that you would show us more of what it means to be loved by you. And we pray for your Spirit's help to reflect that love in our life together. Amen. Back to Claire.
Wow, what an amazing God we have, that he comes looking for us, the lost, and brings us home with joy. Let's have a moment now to pause and let that sink in before we move on. So God rescues us by his grace. That is his undeserved favour and generosity. We've got nothing to offer him in exchange. We're as weak as a lamb, just a wretch of a sinner. And yet, as we were lost, now in Jesus, those of us who trust in his plan are found. We were blind, we now see. And Mike is going to join me now. And thank you so much for your questions on StreamYard. There's a lot today. I'm just going to put a few of them to Mike now. Mike, can we start with just a little bit of thinking about how do we know that we've been found? How do we know that we're no longer lost and now we are home and found?
So how do we know we've been found? We'll think about this a little bit more next week, but it's that word, one sinner, verse 7, one sinner who repents. And you get it in 10, one sinner who repents. Repents means turning. So in other words, God comes looking for us. Have you turned back to him and put your life in his hands? Do you know what it is to have surrendered? See, there's the sort of person who is lost and doing their own thing and deliberately kind of, as it were, running away from God. There is actually also the kind of religious person who thinks, I don't need any help. I'm going to try and be really good. I'm going to sort myself out. Both those people are miles from God. The sort of person who's carried home is the sort of person who repents, who turns to him and says, yeah, I need to put my life in your hands. You're my only hope. You've come to find me. You're the only way I can get home. You turn to Jesus and say, Jesus, you are my only way of getting home. You're found.
And if we've done that once, that's a once for all.
That's right. Yeah. He's picked us up, and using the image of the story, he's picked us up on his shoulders and he's taking us home.
Thank you. So related to that, the question about if God doesn't leave that lost sheep to be lost, how is it that so many people are not home, are not found by God, not brought home?
It's a hard question, and I don't have an easy answer, and it's a question that I think about a lot because there are people I love who are not Christians. I think within the world of these stories, it's that same word again, repent. There are these, did you see that, what is it, verse 7, the 99 righteous people who do not need to repent. And there's sort of a bit of debate. Who's he talking about? There's some people who don't need to turn to God. I think Jesus is having a bit of a poke at the Pharisees and saying, you know, you think God is pleased with you because you think you're fine, you're good. You don't need to be found. You're just fine without him. But actually, God is pleased with the people who recognize they need his help. So I think that the issue is there are those who repent, who turn back to him, say, help me, get me home. And there are those who say, I don't need him. There are some people who, you know, if you like, irreligious people who are miles from God, who say, I don't even want God. But also religious people who say, actually, I don't need his help. I'm just going to do it. You know, I'm just going to try and be good. So there are those who don't take his help.
Don't let them be brought home, maybe. Yeah, thank you. And finally, that question about how do we talk about this with our friends that we love and we would love to be brought home? How do we start those difficult conversations with them?
Well, that's a massive question. How do we start? I think the thing that's really I've been challenged by is how do we start is what does God do? He comes to us. He goes to us. he steps into our lostness. Mm-hmm. It probably starts with our not just sitting back and hoping they come to us, but going to them, entering into their world, hanging out with them, spending time with them. Do you see how the tax collectors and Pharisees, they just sense there's something different about Jesus, and they gather around to listen to him. They sort of begin to trust him. And actually, some of our friends and family who are not Christians, they need to see we're a little different, and they need to begin to trust us, which means going to them and entering their lives. I think we tend to think, well, they should come to us, and we just invite them to church and hope they come. And it's great to invite people to church. But actually, we probably need to do more going out to them and hanging out with them in the pub after work and just spending time in their front room and those kinds of things. Just that's where it starts, I think. Going.
No, that's really helpful. Great. Thank you so much. That's very helpful. Thank you, Mike.